is a Virgin Radio Dubai podcast. You and I. Maz Hakim.
Maz.
Spilling the tea.
As long as I'm with you, it's where I belong.
Be kind to yourself, be kind to the people around you.
Look after each other.
Hey, I'm Maz.
Look after yourself special series.
Let's go!
So another week of Spill the Tea with Maz. This week, we're going to talk about something that's on everyone's mind, and it doesn't matter where you are on the spectrum or what you're going through at the moment. I think everybody is concerned about money at the moment. This is just a reality of the situation we're in. So I decided to have a chat to Chris, who is actually a financial planner, a chartered financial planner, I believe, and he's going to have a chat to us about budgets and all the stuff that we need to know about money. Welcome to Spill the Tea with Maz on Virgin Radio, Chris.
Thanks very much, Maz. Thanks for the invite. Obviously, it's good to be able to get a chance to speak and hopefully educate as many people as possible about what they need to know.
Absolutely. So tell me, firstly, a little bit about your role and what you do.
Okay, yeah, so I'm a chartered financial planner, like you said, at the Fry Group. So we're a DIFC business. We've been operating for the past 120 years in the UK and came out here to help more of the British expats and wider expat community here in Dubai. So that's what we do from our office here, Maz.
Okay, and obviously, I mean, this is a huge concern right now, money, budgets, savings. This is just the reality of the situation we're in. So I wanted to ask a few things about, you know, something a little bit more personal about budgeting. So how much should people be budgeting relative to their salary, like on a daily or weekly or monthly basis? I mean, how do you guys recommend that? And what, say, how much should someone be budgeting per day, per week, per month?
Yeah, it's such a good question, right? And to be honest with you, financial planning really stems out of the fact of people knowing what their finances are. And it sounds so simple, but a budget is your number one go-to to actually make sure a client or any individual understands, you know, where is the money that I'm getting in? Where is it going out? What am I able to save / what am I overspending and what do I need to cut back? So look, step one is having a budget. If you have a budget, you're already in a better position than some people. If you don't already have a budget, then certainly now is the time to crack on with forming your own. Given what's going on out there in terms of some people are unfortunately being made redundant, some people are losing their jobs, salary cuts. Now is a position that no one can take for granted the income that they have coming in, and ultimately they need to know what they're using it for. So I think that it's important that you understand very simple baseline of what am I getting paid and what is going out of the door, and then try to establish why is it going out of the door. Am I really getting what I want out of the money that I'm spending? Money doesn't lead to happiness, I think is the quote that we all know, but ultimately the money spent on the right areas can certainly help you with your mental health at the moment, which is very important, as well as overall financial planning. So we're starting to see a lot more clients come to us with their own spreadsheets. That's happening. It used to be the case that I'd say, if you've got a budget, and people would be like, roughly this, roughly that. Now people are coming in with, you know, Excel documents with formulas way beyond my knowledge of Excel, which I get the technical team to dissect.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing. It's good to know where you're at with your own finances. You know, there's only so much that a financial planner can do. You really do have to take steps on your own as well. We can guide you if you need that guidance. So knowing what the numbers are for you is incredibly important on knowing where the numbers can go for you. So again, knowledge is key here. Typically I use a third model. And there's so many models out there, Maz, that try to explain the perfect formula. Now, I don't try to say that mine is the perfect model, but it's worked fairly well in the past. And that's third, third, third. So you use a third of your income for fixed expenditure, a third for disposable expenditure, and a third to save. It's quite an adventurous savings target, but specifically in times like now, where, you know, essentially people are having pay cuts, people need to fall back on those savings. I'm very glad that I've made those in the past. I would say from an emergency fund perspective is one of the very key things to discuss.
Yeah.
You want to be having sort of 6 months of expenditure in your emergency fund so that if something does happen to you and you're unable to work or you have a pay cut, you can fall back on those savings. So to go back to your question, Maz, budgeting is incredibly important. I personally use a third, third, third model. It's by no ways perfect, but it's a good starting point to see where your actual expenditure in income now fits within that.
Okay, so you mentioned briefly about people having job losses at the moment and salary cuts. What advice would you have to people who have, let's go to salary cuts first?
Yeah, okay. It's a very difficult time for many families right now who have been doing the budgeting correctly and have worked out exactly what they get in and what they spend. Because when you, over time, we generally expect that our earning potential will increase. Of course, as you come to the later in your life, then we have to start planning for retirement and that reduces. Mm-hmm. But over a working life cycle, usually your income goes up. So budgeting becomes important, working out where are you going to spend the extra wealth that you're accumulating.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes, you know, in situations like this where the economy is hit hard and jobs are being lost, salary cuts are required to enable a larger amount of the workforce to be kept in their roles. So, but when we start talking about salary cuts, we really need to get back to the original budgeting that's been done and realize the amount that's coming in is lower, so the amount that's going out has to be lower. Now, if you're using something like the third, third, third model that I mentioned earlier, then you could say, well, the easiest one to get rid of is the third that's going to savings. Now, obviously, as a financial planner, I would immediately want to say, well, let's think about the long-term consequences of this. You know, can we eat out less? You know, that's, right now, it's very difficult to go out for a meal, or at least it has been at certain times in the past few months.
Yeah.
So certain things do change with the changing circumstances that we all face. But if you start, as I said, with a budget and whatever those percentages are for you, you understand what is the input to my budget changed by, because that's what your output has to change by. If you don't do that, then you'll start to pick up debt. Well, I don't want to go into too much about it, but typically as a financial planner, we don't like debt, at least not highly expensive debt that can really corrode a client's wealth over their lifetime. So for us, it's just about, again, understanding that budget. If you have a salary cut, of course, it's an extremely unfortunate position to be in, but it actually means you've still got a job, which could be a key takeaway in this kind of economy. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, you just need to make sure that you're balancing off what's coming in with what's going out. So budgeting is again, just so important.
And let's talk, I guess, job losses. This is a reality of the market that we're in, unfortunately. There's a lot of people experiencing job losses and redundancies. What would your advice be to people who are experiencing job losses? I mean, aside from, I guess, an emotional, a mental point of view, from a practical point of view, I mean, what do people do?
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously I'll keep it more financial. I mean, there's lots of experts out there that could help in other areas. But in terms of the finances, hopefully people have taken advantage of the position that many of us are in here in the Middle East, in the UAE in particular, where we have the low tax regime, and they've actually stuck to some form of budget, again, a budget where you have savings and that emergency fund. So, you know, if you do have an emergency fund that is appropriate, 3 to 6 months of expenditure is really the minimal that you want to have.
Yeah.
And if you do lose your job, if you have that security in place, you can then take your time and, you know, get over the emotional hurt that you feel from having that conversation, which, you know, nobody wants to have with an employer where you're being let go. And that's not going to be an easy conversation. But then having time to get over that hurt and getting onto the actual facts, you know, my income has now stopped. It hasn't reduced, it's stopped. I've got a family to support, I've got bills to pay. Again, without using debt, we really want clients to be able to dip into their emergency funds. Losing your job is certainly an emergency situation. So, you know, that's really what that would be there for. The worst case scenario is that you lose your job without an emergency fund. And typically then you'd probably be looking at leaving your your lifestyle here behind, and probably going back to your home country. You know, my circumstances and many of, you know, private group clients, it is the UK. Yeah. You have to be very careful at that point. Going back to the UK, there's a lot to consider. It's perhaps difficult at a time that you've lost your job to consider paying for advice around going back to the UK or elsewhere. But what I really would say at times like that, or at times like these, if you are going back to the UK, it really pays to get things in place and get your tax knowledge up to date, get your circumstances up to date, and just make sure you have a thorough assessment of what will happen when you go home. So worst case scenario, you do have to repatriate home. You just want to be as informed as possible.
You mentioned briefly about debt before. I guess what do you guys recommend to people who are in debt, or, you know, find themselves in a situation now that's, I guess, really difficult? Salary cuts, job losses. What do people do if they are in debt?
Yeah, again, extremely good question, and it's a very difficult circumstance for many people to find themselves in. I think the only real answer I can give is to do everything that you can to stop that snowballing into a much larger problem. You know, the issue, potentially, if we look at credit card debt, which could be as much as, let's say, 40% interest per annum, mm-hmm. we don't want to be leaving credit card debt lingering too long. And yep. So pay off your highest interest rates first is what I'm getting at. Mortgages, most people will have them if they own property. Most aren't fortunate to be able to buy property with cash, so they will normally have a mortgage, but that's usually at a much lower rate. And if that is below, you know, the sort of, if it's around the 3% mark, then leaving investments in place can typically be appropriate. So I mean, you can have a financial plan that incorporates debt, as long as the debt is cheap enough to service. So you're not getting yourself into, as I mentioned, that snowballing effect of compounding interest, mm-hmm. which is really where you can't keep up with the payments on your debt. But you can't only not keep up with the payments of the debt. You can't actually keep up with the interest that's accruing on it. And of course, that is a very worrying situation that you don't want to get yourself into. So really doing everything that you can and being quite drastic with it, going back to the budgeting point of the disposable income and the savings part. If you're in debt, the savings part isn't going to be there. Hopefully you're already doing what you can to get yourself out of debt. But the disposable income might be there. One of the worst case scenarios, I guess, is where you're trying to keep up with a lifestyle, and perhaps that then starts getting funded by debt. And that can be really damaging. So I know it's not nice to admit that you can't do the things that you once could, or stay at home when your friends are going out and doing something. But ultimately, sometimes it is in your best interest. The long-term impact of taking on even a small amount of debt can be quite critical.
So what about, I guess, what about people who can't afford a financial advisor? They may have access to Excel, but are there any apps? Are there any websites? I know it's not ideal for you guys because this is what you do for livelihood. But for anyone who can't afford that, I mean, and they find themselves stuck in a situation like they've never been in before, are there any apps, websites, any Excel templates that you can recommend?
I mean, in terms of getting advice, obviously, I would always recommend people get professional advice, but there is no point paying for advice that you physically can't afford. Mm-hmm. It's simply not going to work. I think the best thing to do is get something that works for you. And I know it would be very easy if there was a template that could apply to everyone. I'm a big fan of making my own Excel spreadsheets.
Yeah.
I'm not a massive fan of finding a template and using it online, because I just end up changing it anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, if you find one online that's almost what you want and you can amend it, then okay. I think the key points, as I mentioned before, it is simply to try to consolidate debt into lower cost, lower interest rates, avoiding credit card debt if possible and paying that back first. But in terms of resources, I would usually just start with a blank Excel spreadsheet and just get the facts down. And from that, you'll typically find a way that works for your brain to understand. And that you can use. And if somebody builds it, they bring it to me to review. I'm going to admit now that I don't always immediately understand it. People have to explain what they've built. So if you're unable to afford or unable at the moment to seek independent advice, I typically just start with a very honest, quite a brutal almost review of your own position. Because like I said, if you can do that and if you get everything down, that then hopefully it's positive news only from that point forward. But I would normally build my own, and hopefully people will be able to plug some numbers into an Excel spreadsheet and start to see the links. And if they are in debt, it's typically because fairly simply they've been overspending, so they've spent more than they've got coming in.
Can I ask you a personal question? Where do you save your money, or where do you recommend people keep their money? Where does a financial advisor keep their money?
Yeah, again, what a great question. I'm so glad you've asked it, though, because I'm extremely fortunate that in my role, obviously, fortunate that I don't have to pay for financial advice. You know, I put the time in initially to qualify as a financial advisor, so I'm fortunate enough to be able to advise myself. But ultimately, by working in the way that I do with the Fry Group, I actually invest in exactly the same way that I tell my clients to invest. So when I log in and I see all of my clients on a dashboard, my name is sitting right next to them with a lot less in an account, but it is sitting there alongside them. So I'm extremely fortunate to be able to you know, genuinely believe in what I recommend, because my money is sitting there as well. In terms of how do you do it practically, I'm obviously quite a young guy. I've got a long time to retirement, unfortunately. I'm trying to speed that up as much as possible. So I'm investing in the stock market, into equities, a little bit of safer assets as well, given what we've just seen from the fallout of the COVID-19 pandemic. Yeah. We've seen that stock markets are volatile places, and not everybody is comfortable with that. So your own portfolio has to be aligned to your own attitude to risk. And one of the important things a financial planner can do is actually help you understand what your attitude to risk is.
Right.
But personally, I use a platform to make investments on, which effectively is like a supermarket to buy all the goods that you want. And the goods are effectively the funds or the exchange-traded funds, if people are a little bit more technically savvy listening. But they are the investments in which you want to hopefully provide growth over the longer term. I think what we need to clarify with people is that stock markets can seem like a scary place,
yeah,
especially as I just mentioned with, you know, some of them falling nearly 35% throughout the month of March, and mm-hmm. Only to recover almost all of that over the last 2.5 months. So there's definitely a lot of volatility. I'm a young enough guy to be able to stomach that volatility. And I'm aware that by taking on that risk, you expose yourself to hopefully, fingers crossed, longer term returns. So for me, I make sure that it's completely flexible, that the costs are kept in check, because that's very important, and that everything that I tell myself, I tell my clients, that it's all very transparent. So those are the three things to remember. It's got a very, very nice acronym, TLC. It's not tender, love, and care, but it is transparency, liquidity, and cost. And if you truly understand what you're investing into, if you truly have liquidity so you can get access to it when you need to, and you understand that the costs are low enough to give you an improved return, then you won't go too far wrong.
Thank you so much, Chris. This has been so insightful. Any final words of advice for people struggling financially, just overall? Is there like a bullet point, just a couple of things that people should do right now if they could take away from this this talk or this podcast?
I think we've spoken a lot today about budgeting. We've spoken a lot about making sure that you understand the numbers and that taking a personal sense of responsibility of those numbers. Acquiring debt just to keep up with your neighbours or your colleagues is not the right approach to take. Getting professional advice can be helpful. I would, of course, recommend it, but in some cases, it's not practical. So doing it yourself and getting as far as you can. If you do need to speak to an advisor, they're typically able to spare 15 minutes of their time, half an hour of their time, to just point you in the right direction. And I typically do that with clients when we first speak to them. You know, say, look, to be honest, you're not going to get the full amount of value that we would like to see you get from us. So if you do A, B, and C, you know, then potentially this is going to be reasonable. You don't really need advice. There's a few groups out there that I might point them in the direction for, and if they're not comfortable investing on their own. But ultimately, make sure that you've got transparency on what you're doing. That means initially yourself on budgeting, but even in financial planning, making sure you understand and you read the terms and conditions. That's probably the one big thing. I know that they're long, hefty documents.
Yeah.
You need to make sure you understand what you're getting. You need to make sure that you've got the liquidity, and you need to make sure that the costs are right. If you need to leave here quickly, you don't want to have debt, but you also don't want to have financial products that aren't going to help you do that.
Yeah.
So you need to be very careful with where you're investing your money.
Thank you so much, Chris. Where can people get in touch with you if they want to get more advice, more free 15-minute advice?
Absolutely. So look, you can go to our website, thefrygroup.ae. Mm-hmm. That's our Dubai-based website. We're happy to, if you get in touch there, if you have any questions, I can fire you a quick email, or we can have a conversation if it requires that. And if you do need professional advice, and of course, I'd be more than happy to give you that on a completely transparent fee basis that we always provide our advice on.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Chris.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on, Maz. And hopefully this helps educate more and more people, which ultimately is the goal, hopefully, of all financial planners out there to make sure their clients are informed.
This is a Virgin Radio Dubai podcast.